familiar passage of Scripture from the Psalms, but I'm believing we'll squeeze something fresh and new out of it tonight. Amen? Turn with me to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. It's a psalm of David. I think you're going to see some interesting things tonight about this. I'm going to try not to get too crazy. I've got 19 minutes to preach 5 pages worth of notes. You know what? I wish I could do that. I wish I could do that, man. That would be so awesome to preach like that. Wow. That would be a riot. Psalm 103, if you're there, would you stand to your feet for the reading of God's word tonight, folks? Psalm 103, I was going to just use a few of these verses, and the more I read, the more I thought, I can't just start random. So we're starting with verse 1. We'll read through verse 12. How's that? Psalm 103, starting in verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sin, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth. Did we not just sing that tonight? For as high as the heavens above, so great. Did we sing that tonight? Yeah. Well. Mm-mm-mm. For as high as the heavens above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. Here's one of my favorite verses in all of Scripture. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Amen. Father, I pray for your word to accomplish in us tonight all that you have set it forth to do, and I'll give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. Listen, remember, God's goodness leads us into deeper worship and gratitude. When you begin to think about what God has done, how good has God been to us? Not only as a congregation, how good has God been to us individually? You know, we remember his goodness and it leads us into deeper worship and gratitude, and it stirs our hearts to worship God for his forgiveness and his restoration and his mercy. And there's just something deeply personal as you read this 103rd Psalm, something deeply personal. Can I just share with you tonight? David is not talking to a crowd of people here. David David's not addressing the crowd. He's talking to himself. He's talking to his own soul. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. So this isn't just some song. It's a conversation. He's talking to himself. You ever seen somebody talk to themselves? You ever seen them driving down the road and they just, you're like, You ever see them arguing with themselves? Huh? Answering themselves? Oh, probably they are. Yeah, you're probably right. Sometimes, church, you just got to preach to yourself. Sometimes you just got to tell yourself how it's going to be. Amen? You got to tell your soul, don't forget who God is. Don't forget what God has done. Trouble can make us quiet our praise. Disappointments can dim our joy. But David says, soul, you're not going to sit in silence. You're going to bless the Lord. Sometimes you just have to take authority over your flesh and cause it to line up. There's an old hymn that we haven't sang in a while. I've brought it up a few times recently, but I'm not hinting that we sing it, but it comes into play here tonight. Count your blessings. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings. See what God has done. It might surprise you as you begin to rehearse the blessings that God has bestowed on you. It might begin to surprise you of all that the Lord has done. And the truth is, when you start counting, you probably lose count before you run out of reasons to praise Him. Isn't that amazing? We need to follow David's example. We need to begin to stir up our souls and begin to bless the Lord, not for what we wish He'd done, but for what He has done. Not one of us, I would imagine, in this room tonight couldn't think of at least a handful of things that the Lord has done that we could say, bless the Lord for. Amen? I mean, look at what He did in this Harvest Carnival this week. Right? I mean, people were blessed. What was it? 380 hot dogs. Three of them I ate. I haven't had a hot dog in so long, I've kind of forgot what they were like. And I ate the bun too, now that I think about it. Every once in a while, you guys got to get off the wagon and grease the wheels. You know what I'm saying? David gives three reasons tonight that we're going to quickly go over for us that are clear reasons to lift up praise to God. Number one, bless the Lord for His forgiveness. He is the God that forgives all of our iniquities. Forgiveness is literally the foundation of our relationship with God. Without forgiveness, we don't have anything. Without the blood of Jesus, we don't have anything. Without the cross, we don't have anything. We can't worship the Lord truly until we know what it means to be forgiven. And David knew what it was to fail, and he knew what it was to fall into sin. He knew what it was like to carry guilt and to carry shame, but he also knew what it was to experience the grace of God. He also knew what it was like to experience the grace and the mercy of God. He says, bless the Lord who forgives all your iniquities, not just some, not even most, but all your iniquities. I'm glad tonight that there's no sin that is too great for God's grace. No failure so deep that the mercies of God can't reach it. Aren't you glad that His mercies are new every morning? We get a do-over every morning. Isn't that amazing? I hear, as pastor, I hear all kinds of stories of what God is doing in people's lives, in their families' lives, in their children's lives, things that if we just looked at a person, we would never even suspect that that kind of activity was even happening. And then they said, well, let me tell you what God's doing. And listen, he's on the move, church. He is really on the move. He's up to something. When Christ went to the cross, he took every sin, past, present, and future, and paid for it with his blood. If you're saved tonight, you can stand forgiven and free. Imagine a chalkboard filled with every wrong that you've ever done. What's that? That's a big old chalkboard, isn't it? I remember at Myrtle Creek Elementary back in the old days, every classroom had one whole end of it was chalkboard. And they had little erasers like this. They were black. And then they had them big long dudes. Right? One side was that foam rubbery stuff. The other side was like chamois, piece of leather. And the leather would completely erase everything off the chalkboard. That's the one I want on my chalkboard. I mean, taking big swipes. Just whoosh, whoosh. When that chalkboard is filled with every wrong you've ever done, then someone takes that clean cloth and wipes it clean. There's nothing left. That's what the blood of Jesus does. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. So when guilt whispers, you're not worthy. Anybody ever heard that? You're not worthy. You can answer back and say, well, I might not be, but Jesus is, and he forgave me. Amen. Ha! You're right. I might not be worthy, but Jesus is. And he shed his blood for me. Forgiveness is where our relationship with God begins, but it's not where the blessings end. The second thing that I want to share with you is to bless the Lord for his healing and his restoration. How many of you need a touch in your body tonight? You need healing. I'll wait. There are more of you that need healing in your body. Listen. He heals, according to verses 3 through 5, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Listen, God is not only a forgiver, he's a restorer. He is a restorer. He heals what sin has broken. He redeems what life has damaged. He renews what the world has drained. So, number one, who heals all your diseases? David here is not just talking about physical healing. He's talking about the reality that God certainly can heal, but he's also speaking about things that are deeper. He's talking about the healing of the soul. We were talking after church today about the old saying, sticks and stones may hurt my bones, but names will never hurt me. That's the biggest lie from the pit of hell that there ever was. You can take a stick and whack somebody and put knots all over them and bruises all over them in a week or so if their immune system and their body's working well, all the traces of that will probably be gone. But you berate somebody, call them everything but a milk cow. I mean, just rip them apart. That is damage on the inside, and it does not heal nearly as fast, if at all. If at all. We got to be careful with our words, church. We got to be careful of what we say to one another. Listen, as as followers of Jesus Christ, as men and women, brothers and sisters that are supposed to be speaking the things that Jesus would speak, we need to learn how to watch our mouth. Is everybody listening tonight? We need to learn how to watch our mouth. If we're not saying something that's uplifting, if we're not encouraging somebody, if we're tearing somebody down, you need to just shut up. Oh, that's good preaching. Come on, man. I'll cheer for myself now. If we can't speak things that build one another up, listen, there's enough of them of us of the world that is tearing us down. We got to begin to lift people up. Encourage one another. Isn't that what the Bible says, that we're to encourage one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching? We ought to be building one another up, shoring up the love that God has for them. We got to quit tearing people down. We tear our families down. We poke fun at our families because, well, they're our family and we can get away with it. Listen, no, you shouldn't do that. We should build them up too. I'm guilty of it. I'm sorry. Don't start crying. Don't do it. I am sorry. I'm sorry. I'm not perfect either. I've done stupid things. We all have. But at some point, don't we have to make up our mind that I'm not going to do that anymore? That I'm going to speak life? The Bible says that the power of life and death is in my tongue. Gene, I can speak life to you, or I can speak death. What are we going to speak? I want to speak life. I want to encourage you. Healing of the soul. Sin is a sickness that infects our spirit, but grace is the cure. Think about what's coming out of your mouth. Think about, is what's coming out of my mouth going to be helpful or hurtful? Now listen, I don't know about the rest of you, but I cussed for a long, long time. I mean, I still am a truck driver, and truck drivers can cuss. In fact, when you get on the CB radio, most often, that's when we do our best cussing. Because it's just part of, I'm not glorifying it. I'm just using this as an example in my life, that I was really good at cussing. I was really, really good at using the Lord's name in vain. It was part of my vernacular. And I'm just going to tell you, it did not stop overnight. Because we get so used to hearing the things that come out of our mouth that we sometimes don't understand. We don't even hear it when we say it. And I remember I was running a logging outfit for a company out of Medford, and we just started a new job, and I was telling the logging crew how I wanted this certain piece of timber logged and how it was going to come out and blah, blah, blah. And I was using all kinds of really colorful language. And I'd been going to church. And I thought I was doing great. And so I began to tell this guy how good I was doing with not cussing. He said, "Have you heard yourself?" That's what he said. I'm like, "Yeah, I'm doing really good." He said, "No, you're not. You suck at it." "I do? Yeah." He said, I'd heard myself for so long cuss. And I had to make up my mind right then. I got to pay attention to what I'm saying. I got to listen to what's coming out of my mouth. Even when I smash my thumb. Mike was standing right there. I didn't cuss, not one time. I just very gently, I don't know why I was trying to shut the door so gently. I just shut the door. Like, I just grabbed it and went, "You ever tried to open the door like this?" because your hand's stuck in it. We got to learn that even in those moments of pain, we don't have to cuss. We don't have to cuss when you smash your finger. You don't have to. You choose to. It's a learned behavior. And a learned behavior can be unlearned. I'm way out of time. Who redeems your life from destruction? It means that God rescues you from the pit. He pulls us out of the mess and sets us on solid ground. Some of us tonight could testify, I was healed, I was headed for destruction, but God stepped in and turned my life around. Amen? He turned me around. Number three, he crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. The word crowns means he surrounds you everywhere you go. His mercy covers you like some royal crown. And I talked about him this morning. He's showing up again tonight. But I want to tell you about the prodigal son one more time. The prodigal son was dirty. He was broken. He was ashamed. But his father ran to meet him. His father broke all the cultural rules and rights and wrongs, and he jumped off the porch and he ran to meet him, put a ring on his hand and robe on his back. That's what God does for you and I. That's exactly what God does for you and I. He restores our dignity and calls us his own. Listen, what God does for us, he wants to do for others. Verse 5 says, who satisfies your mouth with good things. He fills our lives with blessings that nourish our soul, peace and joy and hope and purpose. He's given that to each and every one of us. God doesn't just save us, he satisfies us. He satisfies us. How many people tonight are looking for satisfaction out of a bottle? How many people tonight that you know of are looking for some kind of satisfaction or comfort from smoking weed or smoking crack or whatever else there is in the world? Listen, you're only going to get satisfaction through Jesus Christ and a relationship with him. He's the only one that can bring satisfaction. He's the only one that can scratch that itch. And then number five, who satisfies your youth is renewed like the eagles, like an eagle shedding old feathers and soaring higher. God renews our strength so that we can wait on him. Do you know there comes a point in an eagle's life where if he doesn't do some things physically to his own body, he's going to die. He's going to die. Because his beak gets so long that it doesn't function like it's supposed to. And so you know what he does? He comes down and he finds a big rock and he starts beating his face on the rock until his beak falls off. Look it up. Till his beak falls off and it begins to grow anew. And during that whole time, he can't eat because his beak's gone. And he molts and sheds his feathers and he gets new feathers. And as those new feathers come and his beak begins to grow back, he begins to take on nourishment again and he begins to fly and he begins to show to soar and he just, you know, an eagle can just soar and soar and soar. I love eagles, man. I love what eagles represent. I love everything about eagles. And they just keep, I mean, they're effortless. They just catch a thermal. They can see for so far. They're majestic. I love them. When life wears you down, anybody been worn down by life? When life wears you down, remember who your Redeemer is. Remember who it is that builds you up. He's the only one that can heal your heart. He's the only one that can restore your hope. He's the only one that can renew your strength. Isaiah 40 and verse 31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's what I want. Forgiveness and restoration are amazing, but David's not finished yet. He turns it to his greatest season or reason of all to bless the Lord, and that is his mercy. The Lord, in verse 8 through 12, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt. How many of you are glad that he hadn't dealt with you according to your sin? He has not dealt with us according to our sin, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. David cannot help but rejoice at the mercies of God. Listen, man, he says God hasn't given us what we deserve. Isn't that amazing? God hasn't given us what we deserve. If he had, you wouldn't be here tonight, and neither would I. We wouldn't be here. But he's been patient, and he's been gentle, and he overflows with mercy. As far as the east is from the west, I've illustrated it 100 times. I won't take the time tonight to illustrate it, but it's east to west is way better than north to south. Let me just leave it at that. Amen? East to west is better than north to south. If you don't understand that, just go look at a compass or look at a globe. Corrie Ten Boom said this: God takes our sins, throws them into the sea of forgetfulness, and then puts up a no fishing sign. Isn't that good? No fishing allowed. The mercies that God has is available to everyone. If you've never received his forgiveness, the invitation still stands. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I said that this morning. It's still true tonight. David begins this psalm and ends this psalm the exact same way. He says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul." And between those two lines are reminders of the unending goodness of Almighty God. And in verse 2, he says, "Forget not all of his benefits." And if you find your worship running dry, if your heart feels heavy and your spirit feels tired, the cure isn't found in trying harder. Remember what I said this morning. Jesus isn't standing at the finish line yelling at you to do better, try harder. He comes to where you are, takes you by the hand, and leads you across the finish line. It isn't found in trying harder. It's in remembering better. Remember his forgiveness. Remember his restoration, and remember his mercy. A little boy once asked his grandpa, "Grandpa, why do you always thank God for every meal, even when it's just a sandwich?" The old man smiled and said, "Son, because I never want to forget who gave me the bread. I never want to forget who gave me the bread." I don't know about the rest of you, but I've been guilty too many times of just sitting down and starting to shovel it in, not taking the time to say, "God, thank you for this bread. Thank you for this food. Thank you for the provision. Thank you for it." You can come to the piano, Kathy. Church, we dare not forget who gave us everything. We dare not forget it. And we need to begin to lift our hearts and bless his name, his holy name. If you're here tonight and you maybe recognize that you've drifted from that place of gratitude, come back. That's all you got to do is come back. Just come back. If sin has weighed you down, remember that there's always forgiveness. If you're weary, there's renewal in His presence. If you're broken, His mercy that reaches farther than you can ever imagine is there for you. So bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. A preacher once said this, if you can't think of anything to thank God for, check your pulse. Check your pulse. You're alive. You know what that means? God's not finished with you yet. He's not finished with you yet. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Father, we love You tonight, and we thank You for Your grace. We thank You for Your forgiveness, Your restoration, Your mercy. Lord, we are grateful tonight that You first loved us. We're grateful that our sins cast as far as the east is from the west. Lord, we forget not all of Your benefits. We're thankful tonight that we're renewed like an eagle. Lord, I pray over this congregation tonight that You would bless. Lord, that You would bring the increase, that You would help us to, on purpose, listen to what comes out of our mouth. To listen, how am I communicating with this person or that person? Do I just take for granted that it's a family member and so it gives me liberty to speak to them ever how I want? No, that's not true. We need to love one another. We need to encourage one another. We need to build one another up, enough tearing people down. We bump into people that are battling and struggling with things that maybe we don't even understand the battle that they're in. And a little bit of love might go a long way in that person's life. We need to pray. We need to pray and we need to pray. We're not here just to hold church. We're here to be His representative.